that no matter how you cleanse, of the iniquities, until the producer of the iniquities, Mr. Iniquity, who lives inside here, unless it is dealt with, you are still not free. You know that the baby that is having diarrhea, you must wash. Am I right? You must change the dress. And you are happy that there is water to cleanse the baby that is having continuous diarrhea. But it's water that is available to wash each time the baby, you know. Are you happy that since we have enough water and I can always change nappy, are you all right?
No.
What do you do? You must look for something that stops the thing from where? From inside. If God is satisfied with rising and falling and coming every week and say, "Oh Lord, we have done it again. I have gone astray again. Cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse me, oh God." Excuse me. If that was sufficient, then 39 stripes should have been enough. But God, please listen, seeking to get rid of the rubbish that produces all the iniquities, was not satisfied. You see, listen, at first, you will think it was Pilate that was not satisfied. Pilate was satisfied. He was satisfied. He had washed his hand. Do you remember? He had washed his hand. But then he was dragged back to complete an assignment. What is it that took Jesus to the cross? For the Father has laid upon him. What made this man? What occupied him that made him iniquity? God is laying it. Now, before we continue from here, let's read that passage furthermore. Let's read it a little. Are you there? The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off. I want to note the word we're reading there. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? Something was to be cut off. The cross was a cut-off point. The cross was a terminus. It was a terminating point. And I want you to note what God wanted to terminate. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Verse 10. Yet. Did you see yet in verse 10? It pleased the Lord. So excuse me. Who bruised him? Eh? It was the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. One week ago, the Lord said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." But this week, it pleased the Lord to do what? To bruise him. It pleased the Lord. To put him to grief. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering. An offering for what? For sin. Now let's stop there. Now go. Go quickly. Go quickly. Go quickly to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5. Are you in 2 Corinthians 5, please? Eh? Can I request you? To read verse 21. Are you in 21? 21, yes. Mom, repeat it again. 21. For he has made him, yes, to be sin. You are not getting me. You are not getting me. All right. Now, wait. Wait. Did you get the way that scripture is pointing? He said, God made him who had no sin. He had no sin. And he had never sinned. God made him who had no sin to do what? What's the meaning of that? To become sin. Sin. Oh, you are not understanding. Eh? Not a person is going to become sin. He became
see. He became what we were. What were we? We were seed. I'm happy that you will say we were sinners. But actually, we were sinners because the man who lived in us is sin. He is the embodiment of sin. Are you getting me now? So God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, who had no sin. He made him to become sin, so that, yes, ma'am. Wait. You see, I took this long discussion because there's a point we must reach as we pray tonight. There's a point to reach. That point, God will help us to get there. It's very, please, it's critical. Do you know that what God did? Look, stand up again. It is not because this man told a lie that he has become bad. When has he been bad? When has he been bad? Oh, you didn't think so. Maybe some of you think that you are wrong because you are committing sin. No. Actually, if you have not committed sin, you are sin. You get me now?
Yes.
So the matter is what he is. Is sin. That's why he kept saying, you has to be born again. Do you understand that now? The matter is what this man is the rubbish. It's not because, I want to tell you that you fought because of who you are, not because somebody offended you. Are you hearing me? What you are doing is because of who you are. So now, listen, I want you to hear me. I know, you see, when we are talking about the gospel, there is a general vague knowledge that many of us say, I understood. You have not understood. And you need to wait. I said, if it is the question of transgressions and iniquities and wrong things that you have done, 39 stripes that produce the bruises and the wounds will have been sufficient. But even if you were cleansed 20 times in a day, as long as Mr. Iniquity that you are carrying is still inside, what will happen? It will produce again. Listen, some of you have been cleansed, but God himself knows that you will do it again. How many of you have repented many times, 20 times, 30 times? Did you not do it again? You did it again, and you will still do it again if nothing happens. Now, The word of God now says, God wanting something else laid on him. He who knew no sin, he made him to be what? To be sin, so that, listen, we might become what? You are not getting it. That's where you miss it. You will think that God wants you to become righteous. God is not saying that you may become righteous. You know what God wanted to do? That you might become righteousness. What's the difference between being righteous and being righteousness? You are getting confused. Are you hearing me? What is God planning? The plan of God. You see, before you were sinners because you were sin. Are you getting me now? All the sins that you produce, it was because you yourself, you were sin. You are not just in sin, you are sin. You see, as far as God is concerned, the natural man is sin. You will go to hell not because of sins that you have committed. You go to hell because you yourself, you are what? You are sin. So what was God wanting to do? He made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that you might become not just righteous, but that you might become righteousness. Do you understand what we are talking about now? What God is looking for is not just righteous people, he's looking for righteousness. As you are walking up and down, they say that man that is going, his name is righteousness. So you see, when you begin now to do righteous, when righteous acts begin to flow out of your life, it will just be because you yourself now, you are righteousness. You see, the cross of Jesus was taking us to a new creation. He was cutting off that which was sin. Are you with me? Do you know that nobody taught a small child how to be angry? Who taught a small child how to bite the mother's tongue? I mean, the mother's breast, the nipple. You taught your baby? How did she know? And when he has just beating your nipple, does he cry at that time? Even when you slap the baby, what does he do? She laughs. She says, I did it. Now, how will a small girl know wickedness? It's because she is sick. Even if she has not started producing, it's a matter of time. So what is it that Jesus had to go to the cross? It is to cut off that nature, that man whom we were, and to replace it with another life. What is that life?
Righteousness.
So when we talk about whosoever is born of God does not sin. This is not because there are no temptation. It is not because he doesn't want to sin. It's because the nature of God abides in him. The nature he carries now is the one that by nature is righteousness. The one we carried from our mother before, by nature, what is it? Is sin. Listen, what is it that God offers you at the cross? It's an exchange. A new creation. Now, this is a very technical point where we are praying. That's where we can only pray at this point now. Can't go beyond here. Listen. Every time Jesus looked at what happened to him at the cross, the only consolation is to see a man like this who now carry another kind of life. That kind of life, the life that is here now, is righteousness. As he's going about, Jesus is saying, now, it makes sense. It was worth it. But you cause him pain. It's like you crucify him the second time when he sees you, who's supposed to carry the kind of life he has replaced. Righteousness. When he now sees you living in sin and coming back and say, because the 39 stripe is good, it produced the blood. What you are saying to him is that, yes, as far as the 39 stripe, that's where we have reached. If you want to take me beyond here, come and go on the cross the second time. The new creation man, are you hearing me? Is righteousness. The cross terminated that other life. So everywhere you see Brother Paul, he says, I am crucified with Christ. He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that we should henceforth no longer serve sin. For he who is dead is freed from what? From sin. As we call on the Lord tonight, I also wish you will be able, after this meeting, to be able to say, God forbid that I should boast in anything but the cross through which I am a dead thing to the world. Dead thing to the world. The cross terminated my old man. The cross ended something. The cross did what? Ended sin. It ended that rubbish. It ended that old nature. And the cross is the divide between that which is natural and that which is spiritual. And after the cross has taken place, there's a new life. What is that new life? Righteousness. So when you do righteous things, why? Because the life that you carry is righteousness. Huh. Am I confusing you tonight? That's what the cross did. Brothers, if you will not walk in that, you have made the cross of Jesus Christ of none effect. Listen, Paul said, and I want you to listen to what he said as I pray now. He said, Christ did not send me to baptize. He said he did not send me to do what? To baptize. I said, what did he send you to do? He said, Christ has sent him to preach. And to preach what? Christ and him crucified. And not to preach it in words of human wisdom. So that the cross will not be made of none effect. It didn't occur to you that something ended, and that a new man is here. And because the new man that is here, what is his name, please? Righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's the righteousness of God embodied. So the cross of Jesus was meant to do away with the evil called Mr. Flesh. Will you let that happen tonight? Eh? For whom does it work? Those who believe. Those who lift up their eyes to see the man that was hanging on the tree. I know you have looked unto him for healing. Are you hearing me? You look for healing. I know you have looked, you say, oh, look unto Jesus for your provision, for prosperity. I would like to say to you, if it is for prosperity, he did not need to go to the cross. He didn't need to go to the cross. See, when the tax collectors arrested them, what did he do? He demonstrated his power of prosperity. What did he do? He said, go, take your hook, catch a fish, open the mouth, there's a coin, settle for me and for you. If Jesus wanted his disciples to be millionaires, you can only just say, you go and catch one fish, you catch two, catch three, open it, there will have been enough. Remember the day he came to the riverside? They have toiled and toiled and toiled. He said, listen, launch on the right side. Did they make a catch? Excuse me, if Jesus is all about bread and fish, he didn't need to go to the cross.
I'm very much disturbed. Why this message was not revealed all these years? Because I am a priest. I went to college. I was trained. But it's my first time to hear such a message. Why?
Thank you for that question. It's a question that has made me restless. I'm restless, you know. I found that the devil will not want you to see this. He will not want the church to see what he went to Calvary to do. Brother, as God is doing this to you, you will have the responsibility of running with this. For there are millions, sincere millions, that will go to hell, not because the cross has not taken place, but because they could not see it. But before we can go, that rubbish that took Jesus to the cross has to be evacuated from here. For God to bring back the new wine, Jesus and him crucified had to be preached again. Now tonight, at the cross, he finished it, and it was finished for you. Just as this brother asked, why? I have been confronted not once, not twice, not three times, not 10 times. I will be preaching and somebody will stand up like he did. One person said, brother, why? Supposing I didn't come to this small village, what will happen to all of us in our church? P. People could be working for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, carrying that rubbish. Sincere but sincerely wrong. Tonight, what is it that he went to the cross to do? It was when he got to the cross, he shouted, he said, "It is finished." Something was torn apart. The devil lost his power. Something that the devil has been holding on to for years. At the cross, the Bible said, he took out of the way the ordinances that stood against us, nailing it to his cross. And having disarmed principalities and powers. Listen, I can see someone say, "Oh, one demon is running after me here and there." Simply because you didn't see the cross. At the cross, the devil lost every right to torture you. Because of the cross, what the devil chases into our life is Mr. Flesh, and he's cut off. He has not a single reason, not one, and he knows it. But just as it happened when Jesus rose, the Magi, the soldier men, they went back to the Sanhedrin. They said, "It happened. A power came from above, shook the whole place, and the man rose." He said, "Is that so?" They said, "Yes." Then they said, "What shall we do?" They talked to themselves. Then they brought large sum of money and gave it to those people and said, "Don't tell that story. Everywhere now, go and say, while we slept, his disciples came and stole him away." That's the report. The devil couldn't stop the cross. He couldn't stop the resurrection. Or he could stop the spread. He could stop the revelation of it. Hey, tonight. For whom does this work? Those who can see. Those who can see the man of Calvary. Those who can see him as he went. As he went. Carrying that our old man to the place of extinction. What God offers you is his own righteousness. That even when something provokes you, what can he bring out? Righteousness. Are you understanding? When something tempts you and you are going to open your mouth, what is going to come out now? Righteousness. That now you can tell sin, but I have no connection with you anymore. Jesus said the prince of this world came, but he has found nothing in me. Because the life he carried was righteousness, but he exchanged it. He took our own old man to the cross and instead released his own life, righteousness, and put it here. Tonight, at what point does this become effective and practice for those who say, for those who can see, you can see the Holy Spirit opening some of your eyes tonight and say, hey, Lord, I see. And those who see and believe, those who are saying, oh, so something ended, not to struggle with anymore. The man that used to make me to sin, what happened to him, had been taken out. He's been evacuated. At the cross, something happened. There's a life that is here now. Righteousness, because it is righteousness that is in here. Victory, because the man that is in here now is righteousness. If it is not that kind of life, excuse me, there's nothing you are doing that God is interested in. In fact, every time you brought that old life to the altar, say you are singing or you are preaching, it's a terrible insult. You don't know what you are doing. You are saying, oh God, even though you went to the cross, it was useless. Even though you died, your death is in vain. No. It must end here. Will it end here? Eh? Why will it end here? Why? Because you are going to fight? Eh? Because you are going to shake your body? Why? Because those who see, they shall live. I know you are used to, oh God, we are miserable offenders. That's all right. But the miserable offender died. The one that God is bringing in here now is the one that God can work with. If after Jesus died on the cross, it is not possible to walk with God in righteousness, why did he die? Have you thought about it? If after the cross, we are still going to struggle, and at the end of the day, we are still going to go to hell, so what is the use? What is the meaning of his death? No. He died that those of us who now live may no longer live for self, but for him who for our sake died and rose again. I want to share with you tonight that it is finished, and yours can finish even now. It's finished not because you have tried and struggled, no, but because the cross has taken place. And all those who see, who look and believe, they look in order to live. You will live. You will live. You will carry that life. What did I call the name of that life? Righteousness. Righteousness. When you live above sin, it will be a normal life. You hear me? living victoriously above sin from day to day, day to day to day. What did I say it will become now? It's a normal life, because that's the normal life of the righteousness that is living in you. When you walk with God now, when you go back and you are going back as a new container, no longer carrying the old rubbish, but bearing the new wine, the water. That water of life, that righteousness. As you go, men will touch it. They will drink from it. They will wonder, they say, what's happening to Mama? What has happened to her? She's no more what she used to be. Say, the woman I used to be was terminated at the cross. The life that is here now is the righteousness of God, but living in me. It's finishing tonight. I see as many of you, I say, Lord, I didn't know this. I didn't know that 39 stripes was not sufficient because of the iniquity that I carry. The major thing that has concerned most of us, majority of people, we end with the 39 stripes. Even the healing that the 39 stripes brought, some of us have not even believed it. But I tell you, all of those things, they are only but small, small composites inside a bigger picture. The bigger thing was the cross. So Paul will say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. We will take it off from there. We have now just come to the beginning of what we will be calling the new creation. Because that is the only kind of life that God can pour into in order to affect this land. I dare say to you that it's from here that any measure of revival you will see on your parish as a priest, as a preacher, this is where it will begin. Any release of authentic anointing, this is where it will come from. Can we drop everything that connects us with the old man, the iniquity, as he took it to the cross? Can we let it be there? Can you let in the exchange, righteousness? I'll leave you again to respond. Look and live. Those who looked, they lived. Those who looked away, they perished. Paul said, I'm not interested to know anything about you except Christ and Him crucified. I wonder why that was the only thing they went about preaching. That was the only thing that mattered to them. And they didn't want to do it with sugar coated because they don't want the cross to lose its effect. There's an effect that the cross is going to have even on you tonight. It's a very, very powerful effect. And I trust that we're going to see the results of that. Are you ready now to drop everything at the cross? To receive the exchange? That cross ended something. It terminated something. You can look at the old life going out. You can see the rubbish being evacuated, but you can see a replacement righteousness. You will look at all the activities of that former man and you will say bye-bye to it tonight. It's different now. We thank God for the blood of cleansing. Yes, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all that have been produced. But we thank God for the cross that uprooted Mr. Iniquity and replaced it with God's own kind of life. You can look into one another's face and you will see Jesus releasing that new man, righteousness. But for whom does it work? Those who look. Those who can see it. Those who believe. They say, yes, Jesus. Lord Jesus, it's time for you to pray. It's time for you to step into the newness. It's time. Some of you, by God's grace, you are stepping out of the old. You step into the newness. Loads are going to drop. Heavy weights are going to fall off. Some of you are already sensing, say, but why didn't I see this? Why did I have to travel for years? Why did I have to? Some of us fasted and fasted and fasted. You didn't know that the sin, when sin is fasting, when as soon as you break it, you can only sin more. Are we ready to pray? If you have seen it, I want you to respond to God. I want you to pray your own prayer the way you want. You want to thank Him. You want to say bye-bye to that old life, whatever you feel like saying. You want to welcome the new man. You want to rejoice in the righteousness. It's not about you now, it's about Him. The kind of life that He carried, that when Satan tempted Him for 40 days, He just simply said, get you behind me. There's a life that can say that. Hallelujah. There's a life that can say that. And that life is here now. The cross brought the replacement. Are you ready to pray? Take any good position. You want to stand up. You want to kneel down. You want to lift up your hands to God. Anyhow, you want to say, God, God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for going to Calvary for me. Thank you, Jesus. You cried unto God in the afternoon. You said, God, I'm tired. But the Lord of glory, it was for this reason that was manifested to destroy the work of Satan. Something is being destroyed tonight. If you have seen it, respond to the Lord anyhow. Thank Him for what He's done. I want you to see that every activity of Mr. Sin in your life is from now on illegal, uncalled for, unnecessary. This body is not to be shared again. Let Him, the Lord, reign. Thank you tonight, Lord. Where are those of you that have seen this? You've seen it tonight and something is dropping. You are saying, now, Lord, thank you. Can you now tell Him to fill your cup? Can you tell him that that exchange because of the cross, it's not because of your working hard, it's not because of your effort, it's not because of your zeal, it's because he went to Calvary. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. All the way to Calvary, Jesus went for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know that the veil has been broken tonight? Do you know that that thing that kept you on the wilderness side is caught? Can you welcome him afresh and say, now, Lord, take your place? If you have seen it, if it's clear in your spirit, can you lift up your voice and say, now, Jesus, take your place. 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 Take your place tonight. Take your place tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you see that old man being carried out, being taken out of the way? Can you see another life called righteousness? Righteousness. The righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many again have seen? Will you stand on your feet if you've seen this tonight? And you are saying, yes, Lord, take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the cross. The cross terminated something about me in the world. And it ended the claim of the world over my life. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.